Chapter 8. Foggy held his cell phone close to his ear, trying to focus more on the dial tone and less on his mother's facial expression. He couldn't help but feel that she was wrong. He felt wrong about it, all twisted up inside. It wasn't fear that he felt, or even concern for Matt. It was dread of his roommate's reaction. Hadn't he learned? Didn't he know better than to equate blindness with helplessness? He tried to put himself in Matt's shoes as he waited for his call to be answered. How would he feel if his roommate, worse, his friend, thought he was so helpless and dependent that he called security to babysit him every time he left the dorm? Foggy sighed, knowing the answer. He'd feel like shit about it. He would feel angry, offended, and betrayed in all likelihood. He couldn't do this to Matt, no matter what his mom thought. He shifted the phone, about to lower it and hang up when the call was finally answered.
Good morning. Thank you for calling the Columbia Law School Public Safety Office. Can I put you on hold for just a moment? A smooth feminine voice asked.
Yes, Foggy stammered, feeling increasingly nervous. The tinny echo of elevator music sounded in his ear and he pulled a face. Columbia was one of the most prestigious law schools in the country, but the best they could do was provide unpleasantly loud clarinet tones. He hesitated for all of 29 seconds before he slowly lowered the phone, hung up, and pocketed it.
They're gonna call me back, Foggy lied, hitting start on the washing machine rather than looking at his mother.
How busy can they be on a Saturday morning? She asked doubtfully.
Well, you know, stolen laptops, missing library books. Petty theft is pretty common these days. I'm gonna go help Dad while that finishes. While I wait for them to call me back. It's great to see you, Mom, Foggy mumbled distractedly, forcing a smile.
He gave her a quick hug and slipped from the room before she could call him back. He was by no means a gifted liar, and he just fibbed to his mother, his loving, never-let-anyone-go-cold-or-hungry, salt-of-the-earth mother. He was going to hell. He just knew it. It was almost 5 p.m. by the time Foggy returned to the dorm room carrying a shopping bag filled with clean, dry clothes in one hand, and his empty, thoroughly Febrezed hamper in the other. He'd lied to his mother twice rather than having an argument with her about Matt's independence. He'd known that she wouldn't listen, and he couldn't help but wonder, if he didn't know Matt on a personal level, would he have listened if someone had told him that a blind guy didn't need and wouldn't accept help? Probably not, he realized with a sigh. He opened the door to the dorm and dragged his empty hamper inside, setting it at the end of his bed. Matt was standing by his own, frowning at the collection of neatly pressed shirts arranged on his vermilion comforter. Foggy glanced at the shirts too, wondering, not for the first time, how Matt decided what to wear. The same way a sighted person did, he supposed. He wore things for comfort, for style, for weather, or for an occasion. He studied the different shirts curiously. One was a black poplin dress shirt, another a striped dress shirt in the same material. Then there was a gray V-neck tee, a dark polo, a striped t-shirt, and a white dress shirt with a stiff collar that looked like it should only be worn for funerals. Hey, Foggy said, dumping the bag containing his clean clothes on his bed. Hey, Matt echoed him. You were gone for a while.
Oh, yeah. All the machines downstairs were full, so I went to my folks and wound up watching a basketball game with my dad. Foggy explained with a little shrug. It had been a good day if he didn't count lying to his mom and staging a fake phone call with the head of campus security so she'd let the subject of Matt's safety drop. He didn't feel good about it. But Matt wasn't pissed at him for crossing a line, so that was a win.
It sounds like you had a good day. I'm sorry if I annoyed you this morning. The smell, you know? Matt muttered with a particularly pensive expression.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, Matt, are you okay? Did I do the right thing by not calling professional babysitters?
He couldn't ask him either of those things. He had a feeling that he knew the answer to both those questions. Matt was okay, but he wouldn't have been if he'd called security on him like his mom had wanted him to. "What's with all the shirts?" Foggy asked instead, trying to sound casual. "Date night," Matt replied with a strange little smile. "Oh, well, have fun," Foggy said, trying not to sound too surprised. He was a little taken aback. Matt was going on dates, apparently. That was a normal thing college students did. It definitely wasn't the kind of thing that should make him feel weird and fluttery, like his mom's pastrami sandwiches had suddenly grown wings and were flapping around somewhere between his heart and his throat. "That was a joke, Foggy. I'm going to Mass tonight at my old church. It's been a while, and I figured I'd put in an appearance," Matt muttered, frowning slightly. "Oh, aren't some of those too casual for Mass?" Foggy asked, glancing at Matt's collection of shirts. "I thought you were supposed to wear your Sunday best." "You are. I just haven't been back there in a while, so I don't know what to wear," Matt admitted, looking strangely uncertain. It was rare for him. Foggy was used to Matt being confident and sure of himself. It was a front, he realized. Matt had insecurities like anybody else. He just pretended he didn't so that people thought twice about taking away his independence. "The white shirt," Foggy suggested after a moment's hesitation. "It's serious, but not somebody died serious. Save the black one for a nice funeral." "You don't like it?" Matt asked with a little smirk. "It's fine," Foggy said, shrugging his shoulders. Truthfully, he didn't like it. He liked Matt in color, in bright reds and yellows, not in washed-out black. There was just something about seeing Matt try to blend in sometimes that he didn't like. He was different, and Foggy figured he might as well own that and come into his own a little bit. That was what any good friend would want for him. He frowned as he watched Matt immediately lean forward and put his hand on the white shirt, like he knew which one it was without needing to be told. "How do you know which one the white shirt is?" Foggy blurted out, unable to help himself. But Matt just smiled. "Come here. Just give me your hand," Matt requested so softly that Foggy found himself immediately doing as he asked. It was totally normal for his hot roommate to hold his hand. Foggy's feelings about that were also totally 100% normal. He swallowed hard and let Matt manipulate his fingers, guiding them over a series of discernible bumps and a tag fixed to the shirt's label. "Is that Braille?" Foggy asked hesitantly, not withdrawing his hand. "Yeah, I have labels like this in all my clothes. I get tired of asking people all the time. Please tell me the color, size, etc.," Matt explained, obviously trying for nonchalance and only managing to appear achingly soft and vulnerable. "Awesome," Foggy said, and he meant it. "Have fun tonight." He meant that, too. Matt deserved to have some fun in his life. Whether fun and Mass went hand in hand was another matter entirely, one that he'd rather not get into tonight. He withdrew his hand, and Matt withdrew his too, his expression unreadable. "I'm gonna hit the shower," he declared, picking up the white dress shirt. "Sure, yeah, go for it," Foggy muttered, searching for something to distract himself and settling on his bag of freshly laundered clothes. He upturned the bag, creating a messy pile that he needed to sort through and fold. He figured he may as well start now and picked up a pair of faded Levi's, beginning to fold them. He averted his eyes from Matt, still feeling that strange fluttering in his chest. Matt holding his hands for a couple minutes certainly hadn't helped with that. "Big plans tonight, Foggy?" Matt asked, his tone warm, warmer than it had been all week. "Huge plans. I'm gonna order takeout, start that paper that's due in 2 weeks, and figure out which movie we're watching with the girls tomorrow night. Unless you have a preference?" Foggy asked, frowning as he picked up the next item in the pile, a white tee. "Anything you like, Foggy," Matt said smoothly. What do you like? Foggy asked, dropping the white tea back onto the pile, unfolded. He looked at Matt, who seemed to be deep in thought. It was almost as if it had been a while since someone had asked him that, and Foggy made a mental note to do it more, to try to ask Matt instead of assuming that he knew what he wanted or needed. Everyone liked to be asked for their opinion or personal preference sometimes. I like the classics. A comedy, if it's good, Matt replied, smiling to himself. I'll see what I can find and rustle up some movie snacks, Foggy offered in a fit of generosity. That sounds great. Okay, I've got to get ready, Matt muttered, his smile fading. Don't let me keep you, Foggy said teasingly, watching Matt pick up his chosen attire. I won't, Matt called, as he made his way to the bathroom and shut the door. Don't let me hurt you, Foggy thought with a sigh, remembering the close call earlier that morning. That was what he really wanted to say to Matt, especially when he heard him humming an old hymn from the bathroom a minute later. Matt was vulnerable. Not in an I'm blind and I need help sometimes way. In an I trust you, and because of that trust, you're in a position where you could all too easily hurt me way. He was worried about that. He was also self-aware. He knew that he did and said thoughtless things sometimes, things that could hurt Matt. The problem was, most of the time, it only occurred to him afterwards. End chapter 8.